We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Colonel Steven Schrader joining us on In Focus. He's the garrison commander at Fort Riley, and we're getting an update on everything going on out there. Recently there was a groundbreaking for new houses at Fort Riley. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about the efforts that you guys are doing to improve housing there for soldiers and families?
Yeah, we're super excited about that groundbreaking. So Corvius Solutions Investment. So Corvius is our privatized housing partner, manager our homes on Fort Riley. It's a partnership between them, our housing office, and leadership of Fort Riley to bring safe, quality housing and barracks to our soldiers and families on the installation. So Corvius writ large has a $325 million investment project for development at six different installations. We are the first of those six to receive $62 million of that $325. So that $62 million is being invested in 96 new junior NCO homes that will be built up in the Warner Peterson neighborhood. There's a big, large area there on the installation. It's been on there at the top of Custer Hill. It's been open for some time. It's where we demolished old homes years ago. We'll build those 96 units out there. We're going to renovate 32 homes in historic main post, what we call our Rimrock area. These are, you know, nice homes. They've been there for years, but they hadn't had any renovation projects up to this point in time. They're very, very pretty exteriors, nice red brick. They just need to go in and have new put into them. And so 32 of those will get renovated. We'll have about 80 roofs in our historic main posts. They'll get new roofs put on them, which is significant because those are all historic homes. So, I'll use my house as an example. It was built in 1904. General Patton lived there in 1937. And so those homes fall underneath a very specific Historical Preservation Society standard. They're tough to renovate because it's very expensive. And so this is a great opportunity with this investment program to go in there and renovate the roofs, gutters, things like that. And we've got additional energy conservation measures or energy control measures that will go into place for all 3,827 homes on the installation as part of that $62 million development project. So cost savings over the long term, everything like smart thermostats and faucets and sinks and everything that will reduce costs and increase efficiency for the houses on the installation and provide safe, quality living environment. They're also taking some of that money towards our parks, so playgrounds and areas where they're investing into that. Huge, huge opportunity, and we're just super excited to be the first installation to get to take part in that with Corvius.
How representative is that of all the housing you have on post there? Because I know there's probably quite a bit. I don't know how much of it is aging and how much this is going to benefit.
So the 96 new units are brand spanking new units, so that's from the ground up, new facilities. The 32 are full renovations, so it'll be basically going inside, redesigning the floor plan, and restructuring the interior. We have a total inventory of 3,827 homes on the installation, so in one way, shape, or form, every single home is going to benefit from that $62 million development cost.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good to hear. I know people always love hearing anytime the housing can get improved there. As far as some other things we've seen recently in the news, you guys displayed some new night vision goggles recently. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, our 2nd Brigade had a chance to be the first ones to field the enhanced night vision goggle and family of weapon sights, which is, it's always fun to be part of a fielding program and have your soldiers be involved in the testing leading up to fielding the new system. It's about increasing the lethality and capability of soldiers on the battlefield, and these enhanced night vision goggles absolutely do that. It gives you a thermal imaging capability and capacity that you didn't have previously, so you can see through fog, you can see through smoke, daylight, dark, and it also pairs up with an actual weapon sight on the. I think you had some folks from K-Man that actually had a chance to come out and be there as part of the media day for it, and I think they got their eyes open to what kind of capacity and capability it is. And so it's super exciting for the soldiers. And I remember it as a battalion commander fielding some new stuff, and so 2nd Brigade's had a great opportunity. And, this is not the only thing that Fort Riley does. We're involved in testing a lot of times with different programs, and it's called the synthetic training environment or virtual training environments. We have a lot of the capacity there that we plug into. But anytime you put your hands on a new piece of equipment, and soldiers notice the difference immediately, that's where we're going.
Yeah, it's impressive, and there's so many different scenarios you guys have to be prepared for. You never know, a night attack anytime can happen. As far as some other things in the news recently. You guys recently signed intergovernmental support agreements with Manhattan, K-State, and the state of Kansas. Tell us a little bit more about those agreements and if we'll see more of those in the future.
I'll start with the last question first. So, yes, you absolutely will see more in the future. We've got about 19 viable opportunities that we're looking at to work additional intergovernmental support agreements over the coming months and years. We have a pretty set in place program with a local community to bring everybody in and do an Army community partnership discussion for ideas. You know, our first one was last summer, and that was the bulk salt ICSA with the city of Manhattan, which is still in place. And then since then, we've did the archaeological site survey ICSA with K-State University. And then we just recently, about a month ago, signed into effect the Kansas Transportation Safety Resource Office intergovernmental support agreement. So those allow us to partner with the municipalities for mutual beneficial means. And in those two last instances, you're talking about $28,000 per year, $24,000 to $28,000 per year for the next 5 years of cost savings between those two intergovernmental service agreements. So we're continuing to push the efficiency and cost effectiveness level out there and find bigger and better ways to partner with local communities and commodities. So.
Okay. And as far as other initiatives you've started since you've been at Fort Riley?
So we've seen a lot of change as we look at our programs, and because you talk about potential budget cuts or you talk about funding changes. And as we look at readiness and modernization being the focus for our funding priorities, how do we continue to maintain what we do for soldiers and families? Because that is a significant priority. And if you look at how we rearrange priorities in the Installation Management Command world, is now the number one priority. So soldier and family programs, how do you continually innovate and be creative? So we've done a couple things on Fort Riley to get after that. Our old bowling center is not a bowling center anymore. It's now called Spare Time Interactive Entertainment. We basically pulled the majority of the lanes out of there and put hyper bowling lanes in it. We've got a rock climbing wall. We've got batting cages. We've got an AstroTurf area that turned it into a tailgate area. It's got golf simulators in it. It's got food, entertainment for the whole family. So you can pull up and park a chair behind the tailgate area with a big screen TV and watch a football game if you want to, or whatever. Whatever entertains you the most, or get in the batting cage and see if you can hang with an 80-mile-per-hour fastball. The opening weekend back in January, we had to go and get more food because underestimated the amount of folks that would be there, but we had about 10,000 folks that cycled through in the opening weekend. So
wow.
I think it's a big hit, and it shows the creativity and innovation that's existing on the installation to continually upgrade and change. We just did a ribbon breaking for Riley's Community Center. So most of the communities heard it referenced as Riley's Conference Center, but we upgraded and she converted it over to a Category A facility instead of a Category C facility. And so we put more fitness equipment capacity in there. We put some soldier family readiness group readiness rooms in there where kids have got play areas so that we can bring SFRGs in to be able to focus on their meetings but have somewhere where their kids could play and romp. There's a computer lab in there now. We can still host everything from our victory welcome banquets to just this past Saturday we had the retiree appreciation day that we hosted there. So lots of capacity in there. We kept the initials the same, but the name twisted just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I think people lose sight of the fact that Fort Riley is a community, even though it is a working installation there for the military. But, the community aspect, improving that is always something you guys strive to do here, improving it. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, it sounds like there's always a party going on at Fort Riley because I'm hearing a lot of booms lately. Tell us a little bit more about the training that you guys have going on right now.
So we're constantly training because you said it earlier, you never know when something's going to happen. And so we're always prepared to answer the nation's call. So we're obviously focused on getting soldiers back home right now, coming back from redeployment. But we're constantly preparing for what's next and what's in the future. And that's both from a training perspective. So, yes, you've heard some artillery tables that have been going on. That's most of the booms that people have heard over the last couple of weeks. We take great strides in communicating those timelines to the community so that they know there's going to be probably increased training noise taking place. But I think before my time, it was quoted as being the sounds of freedom somewhere along the way. It can rattle windows. I know my house gets a little bit of window rattling going on, but I don't mind it too bad. But I'm a career infantryman, so I'm used to that kind of rattle. But we do communicate through our Garrison PAO and Division PAO team, let the community know that we are going to do some increased training. But at the end of the day, it's required. It's necessary so that our soldiers are more lethal and they're prepared for whatever the nation's call is.
All right. Sounds good. Well, looking ahead to the next year, what are your expectations?
Continue to improve and be creative and be innovative. I mean, those are the key words that, you know, we what got us here today won't get us to where we need to go tomorrow. And that's the mantra that we talk about in the garrison every day, to how are we continually improving to make Fort Riley truly the best place to live, train, deploy from, come home to. And so we just recently signed the Fort Riley campaign plan, not just the garrison campaign, not just the Big Red One campaign plan, but the Fort Riley campaign plan that goes all the way out to 2030. And so it's a discussion, how do we take care of soldiers' families in the installation today, and how do we take care of soldiers' families in the installation tomorrow? And that's improving infrastructure, barracks, housing, safe quality environment. How do we make sure that we're prepared to meet the nation's call? How do we make sure that we're keeping the Big Red One the most lethal and combat-ready force that we've got out there?
All right. Well, I know people really appreciate having Fort Riley in our backyard, literally, and all the work you guys do out there. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the time here coming on the radio this morning.
Thanks, Brandon. It was a pleasure being down here.
All right. Colonel Steven Schrader, Garrison Commander Fort Riley. If you missed any of that, we'll have it up on our website shortly here on In Focus, newsradiokman.com.
All right, Brandon, thank you much. Tomorrow will be USD 383 Day with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed. Board Member Kayla Hagemeister will also be joining us. And we'll be visiting with Manhattan Area Technical College President Jim Jeanette as well. That's tomorrow on K-Man's In Focus. Clark Howard Show is next, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show, then Dan Patrick. And join us for the game this afternoon. We got Coach Kleiman's press conference to talk about and a lot more. Enjoy a beautiful day in the Flint Hills. It's now 10 a.m. at K-Man. Good morning.